Good morning. Welcome to worship here at St. Luke's Lutheran Church. It's always a delight to see those who are present in the sanctuary, and welcome to those who are joining us more remotely. And happy Father's Day. Thank you. Let's take this opportunity just to pray for fathers. Dear Lord, we thank you for the gift of our fathers, for the example that they have provided for us, that helps us to learn a little bit more about you as Father. We pray for all the men of this congregation. Help them to have learned wisdom from their fathers that they can pass on to those that they encounter, whether it be children or grandchildren, nieces or nephews, neighbors or students. Just be with all of our men this day. Be with all who serve as father figures. And we thank you, Lord, for the gift of fathers, what they teach us, the examples that they provide for us, and how they point us to you. We ask all things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our food pantry volunteers this week are Peggy Bierke, Mary Lett, and Linda Morgan. Do we have any other announcements? If not, please stand as you are able to join in the confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit so that we may live and serve you in newness of life through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Let us join together in our gathering song, number 669, Rise Up, O Saints of God. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Seems so strong.
Let us pray. God of compassion, you have opened the way for us and brought us to yourself. Pour your love into our hearts, that overflowing with joy, we may freely share the blessings of your realm and faithfully proclaim the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
God speaks to us in scripture reading, preaching, and song. The first reading is from the 19th chapter of Exodus. The Israelites had journeyed from Rephidim, entered the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness. Israel camped there in front of the mountain. When Moses went up to God, the Lord called him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the Israelites, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession out of all the peoples. Indeed, the whole earth is mine, but you shall be for me a priestly kingdom and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the Israelites." So Moses came, summoned the elders of the people, and set before them these words that the Lord had commanded him. The people all answered as one, "Everything that the Lord has spoken, we will do." The word of the Lord. Let us read Psalm 100 responsively. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into God's presence with a song.
Know that the Lord is God. Our Maker is the Lord. We are God's people and the
Enter the gates of the Lord with thanksgiving, and the courts with praise. Give thanks and bless God's holy name. The second reading is from the fifth chapters of Romans. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access into his grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that he has given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 9th and 10th chapters, beginning with the 35th verse. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Today's Gospel begins with a summary of what Jesus has been doing in and around Galilee. He has been going about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God, and curing every disease and sickness. He looks at the crowd gathered, and his heart is filled with compassion for them. Their religious and civic leaders have failed them, leaving them lost, without direction, vulnerable, easy prey. They are like sheep without a shepherd. And we know that Jesus is the good shepherd, the one who guides and protects those he calls to himself. He looks at them in all their need, knowing how they hunger for the message he brings about the coming of the kingdom, seeing how they desire healing, a healing that he knows goes beyond the physical. He sees these lost and hurting people as ready to hear and accept the message of the kingdom, if only there were enough laborers to be sent into the field. He says to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." I can imagine the disciples taking him at his word, gathering together in prayer for the harvest of souls, with Simon Peter speaking out, "Blessed are you, Lord God, ruler of the universe, Lord of the harvest. You have sent Jesus to spread your message to the world, and he has been doing that. He has been preaching and teaching and healing, but it is just too much for one person. So, Father, we come to you right now and ask that you send laborers into your harvest. We want them to be the right sort of laborers, the ones who really seek to do your will, for this is your mission, your harvest. But we can understand if you can't send scholars who are well-versed in Scripture. Just send those who've been listening to Jesus as he describes how Scripture is being fulfilled in our midst. We understand if you can't send people who are experts in caring for the sick, who don't have medical training. Just send those who trust that healing comes from you, who are not afraid to do what we have seen Jesus do. And we understand that the laborers are few, so we know that you might not be sending many of them into this harvest. Maybe you can start with just a few that you specially choose for this task. Maybe just a dozen or so. That is what we are." And Jesus cuts him off and says, "Thank you for your heartfelt prayer, Simon, because it is being answered in a way you might not have imagined. For I am giving you 12 authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. And don't go among the Gentiles, not yet. I am asking that you start right here with your own people, people of your own culture who speak your language. Go among them, your neighbors, your friends, people in these communities right here. As you go among them, proclaim the good news that the kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons." Did he lay his hands on each of them as he gave them authority to do what he's been doing? Did he breathe on them? And did they feel the Holy Spirit's presence to strengthen and guide them? Did they feel ready and eager to begin this work? As you're considering these questions, let's look at the extended version of today's gospel that provides even more of a job description. "Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics, or sandals, or a staff, for laborers deserve their food." What he's saying is that they are to take only the bare necessities and to rely on those who will be hearing their message to give them what they need. He tells them more about finding a worthy house to stay in and to shake the dust of any village that will not receive them. He continues, "See, I'm sending you out like sheep into the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of them, for they will hand you over to councils and flog you in the synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings because of me, and you will be hated by all because of my name. But the one who endures to the end will be saved." In reading that job description, I was reminded of this ad placed in a San Francisco newspaper in March 1860, when the Pony Express was first hiring writers. "Wanted: young, skinny, wiry fellows, not over 18, must be expert writers, willing to risk death daily, orphans preferred." Jesus tells the 12 what he is expecting them to do and the risks involved. They are to go out and help usher in the kingdom of God by doing what he has been doing. He has been showing them by example what their task will be. They have been his disciples, a word that means learner. Now, for the first time, they are referred to as apostles, a word that means sent ones. It is time for them to stop just learning what to do and to go out and start doing it. The mission statement Jesus gives to the apostles is very clear. He tells them where to go and what to do. He sends them to their own people before sending them out into the larger mission field. He tells them what to do, to proclaim the good news, to cure the sick, to raise the dead, to cleanse the lepers, to cast out demons. If they are not proclaiming, curing, raising, cleansing, and casting out, then they are not fulfilling their mission. He's not telling them to do anything that he has not done himself. They are not blazing new trails. Instead, they were following the path that he has already been traveling. And look at this group that Jesus has commissioned. Fishermen, a tax collector who worked for the Romans, a zealot who worked against them, one who will deny him, one who will betray him. Yet he entrusts these individuals with his work of proclamation and healing. I saw a post online entitled, "Do you seriously think God can't use you?" It goes on to describe some of those called by God and their deficiencies, such as these. Abraham was too old. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid. Jonah ran from God. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul was too religious. Lazarus was dead. We could look at ourselves as individuals and find all sorts of excuses for why God can't use us. We're too old. We're too young. Our health isn't the best. Other pressing matters take up our time. Let's put aside our individual calls for right now and focus on another call. God's call to all of us as a community of faith. Do you ever think about that call? What is the mission to which God is calling us as a church? How are we to live out that mission? What is our mission statement? What is our mission statement? I ask because a mission statement is meant to provide specific direction. It serves as a sort of roadmap so that we know where we're heading, and we need to look at it periodically so that we know whether we're going in the right direction. Otherwise, it is like deciding to go to Gillette by heading south on Interstate 25. Without a course correction, no matter how much gas you have or how much enthusiasm you have for the journey, you're never going to get there. Article 4.05 of our Constitution states, "This congregation shall, from time to time, adopt a mission statement which will provide specific direction for its programs." I have every reason to believe that such a mission statement has been adopted. I have one problem. I have no idea where that mission statement can be found. Perhaps it echoes the statement of purpose, which asserts, "The church is a people created by God in Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit, called and sent to bear witness to God's creative, redeeming, and sanctifying activity in the world." It then sets forth what the congregation will do to participate in God's mission. But this is language that is contained in the constitution of every church in our denomination. What does this congregation, this church located here in Buffalo, Wyoming, what does this congregation see as its particular mission? The mission statement for Union Congregational can be found on every newsletter. It was adopted at a special meeting of the congregation in November 2019 as a shortened form of the statement that had been contained in its constitution, which had read, "The mission of this church is to unite Christians in the name and spirit of Jesus Christ and to provide opportunities for the worship of God, for the study of Holy Scripture, and for service to community. The shorter form reads, "In Jesus' name, worship God, study Scripture, joyfully help those in need." And I wonder, how do they see themselves fulfilling that mission statement? By coming to worship on Sunday? By hearing God's word proclaimed and preached? By being encouraged to read Scriptures and participate in Bible study? By engaging in outreach in Buffalo and beyond? But what I find interesting is that the shortened mission statement omits this language. The mission of this church is to unite Christians in the name and spirit of Jesus Christ. It is this portion of the mission statement that most presses on my heart, and I wonder why it was omitted. And we'll be talking about that over there. Some time ago, I asked how we as individuals and how we as a church can step out in faith. I passed out two pieces of paper to everyone. One was white. On it, I asked each of you to write down what you feel you need to do to step out in faith. and I asked that you retain that piece of paper. The other was yellow. On it, I asked for you to write down what you feel we need to do as a church to step out in faith. And I asked that you turn that piece of paper into me. I did this with both churches and compiled the results. Some of the responses were probably intended to be on those white pieces of paper, but because they were turned in, I include them anyway. And so here are your responses. Be more visible in the community. Not add another thing or event to our plates, but be more intentional in letting our community know what we do. Show the community and world what we are and do as a church. Become more visible in the community. Tell and show them what we are. Address the problem of our shrinking membership. Try to get more people to join us. Think how we might help others, not just improve our building and treasury. Invite people to join us. Read the Bible. Reach out, teamwork, serve others, pantry, hospital volunteer, Christian fellowship and devotions. Support Pastor in her work in our lives. Pray for her strength to continue her work with the help of the God she believes in. Invite more people to church. Invite and pray for those unchurched. Be a good neighbor. Pray. Projects. To continue prayer, knowing God will be there by faith to help us live a life in God. Church needs to show more enthusiasm, to show our trust and faith in God. Be open and receptive of change. Visit our shut-ins. Invite churchless to come. Pray. Seek out others in need. Trust in His will and allow it to grow. Lead by our own example of faith. Be involved with other churches. We all serve the same God, and in numbers we can do so much more than just a few number. Spread the word. Be more evangelistic. Invite others to hear the word at our church. Attend church faithfully. Take the good feeling we have when we leave the church on Sunday and share it throughout the week. Those were your responses. You can hear some general themes in those responses. They deal with being more visible in the community, letting the community know who we are and what we do as a church, asking people to join us, seeking out those in need, and praying. Part of what I was asked to do as your pastor was to get out into the community. Almost every week you will find me telling people what is going on in the churches I serve and inviting them to participate. But the task of being visible in the community, letting people know who we are and what we do as a church, and asking people to join us is not mine alone. It is too much of a job for one person to do alone. Here's my challenge to you. I'm asking, as you go about your everyday lives, to look for the lost sheep, Christians who have strayed from the flock and no longer see the church as relevant to their lives. Look for those who hunger and thirst for God, who know that there is something that is missing from their lives and wonder if Jesus might be the answer. Pray that the Lord of the harvest sends out laborers into the harvest. And don't be too surprised when God responds, "I hear your prayer. I hear your prayer, dear church. I send this church. I send you." Amen. Let us join together in our hymn of the day, number 579. Lord, you give the Great Commission.
Such a church.
Let us proclaim our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Trusting in God's abundant mercy, let us offer our prayers for a world in need.
For the church here and around the world, we pray. Seek out disciplines and send them out with authority to proclaim good news, bringing healing where there is pain, and counter the forces of evil. God, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. For the earth and all its creatures, we pray. Equip farmers, farm workers, and all who labor on the land to produce a harvest. Nourish crops with ample rainfall and abundant sunshine. Restore lands ruined by pollution or misuse. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
For those who govern, we pray. Empower those who seek peaceful solutions to conflict and embolden those who advocate for all who are oppressed. Work through systems of government to establish justice throughout the world. God, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. For those who suffer, we pray. Accompany those who feel helpless, alone, or abandoned. Embrace any who long for a successful treatment for mental illness or freedom from addiction. Heal those who are sick, especially those on our prayer chain or those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
For fathers and father figures, we pray. Console all who long to be fathers, children estranged from their fathers, anyone grieving the death of a father, and fathers who have lost a child. Draw near to all whom this day stirs up difficult emotions. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. For all the saints, we give thanks. Receive into your eternal care all those who have died, and fill us with hope that does not disappoint. God, in your mercy, receive our prayers and answer us, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of that peace. And we thank you for supporting the ministries of St. Luke's Lutheran Church with your tithes and your offerings. Let us join together in our offertory give thanks. It is in the book called Best of the Best.
mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Grant us peace. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready.